But today, I think the story that I want to share with you today, I think really fits so beautifully into the gospel passage that we just read, where Jesus talks about those who are ashamed of him, and those who die for his sake and the sake of the gospel. And so as I think upon the cross of Jesus Christ today, I remember the first words that Jesus spoke when he was on the cross, when he was nailed to the cross, the first words that came out of his mouth, at least according to the Gospels, are, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." Before anything else, forgiveness comes from his mouth. Forgiveness, which is the hardest thing for human beings to do. My opinion, but it's based on experience, both my own experience and the experience of others. Perhaps you think something else is harder for you to do, but my own experience of human nature is that forgiveness, it is the hardest thing for human beings to do. And yet, the thing that was most characteristic of the one who was both God and man, Jesus Christ, was forgiveness. Or you might still say, well, he was God. You know, it's easy for God to forgive. Really? Really? God nailed to a cross in human flesh, enduring suffering and indignation and humiliation by sinful men? You want to think twice about saying how easy it is for God to forgive? Let yourself off the hook that easily? Here is the thing about forgiveness. It is not a theoretical thing, something for philosophers and theologians to argue about and to write about and speculate about. Forgiveness is an action. It is something you do. You either do it or you don't do it. And only if you have suffered at the hands of someone else, can you forgive? Can you experience forgiveness? Because it's not a theoretical thing. To be truly, and here's now an insight that had never occurred to me. I'd never heard or read anybody else saying this, but maybe it's a little bit bold for me to say this, but I'm going to say it. To be truly forgiving, God had to suffer the indignity of the cross. And I believe that is the meaning of Christ's death on the cross. Jesus did not die to appease an angry God, as you will hear many TV and radio preachers say. Quite the contrary. Jesus died to bring to perfection God's love. Until Jesus' death on the cross, God's love was not perfect, had not attained its ultimate perfection. Because love is perfected in forgiveness. It is the highest human perfection. It is the highest perfection of God's own love. And it is the thing that makes us most like God. Lest you think I'm just totally off the deep end here, the Bible doesn't say what I just said. To be truly forgiving, for God to attain perfection in his love and forgiveness for human beings, God to have to suffer the indignity of the cross. Perhaps there's no place where that is said outright. But in Hebrews chapter 2, not the passage that was read today, but in chapter 2, this is what it says. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation, αρχηγόν της σωτηρίας, the captain of their salvation, the leader, the pioneer of their salvation, namely Jesus Christ, perfect through what he suffered, both the one who makes us holy and those who are made holy are of the same source, ex enos pandes. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. You catch that? Jesus had to be made perfect so that he can be our brother in everything. That's the Bible, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, that God had to make the pioneer of our salvation, Jesus Christ, perfect through what he suffered. So I am carrying that perfection to forgiveness and to love. And a powerful example of forgiveness is demonstrated for us by a group of French Trappist monks in Tirbirin in Algeria. Seven of these monks were kidnapped and beheaded by Islamic extremists in 1996, long before it became a thing for television in its current form. And their story was made into an award-winning film in 2010, a film called Of Gods and Men, a French film. The prior of that Algerian monastery, Christian de Cherget, had a strange premonition because of what was going on in the country and what was going on in the village and so on. He had a strange premonition that he would die a violent death. And so he wrote a letter forgiving his future assassin, whom he didn't know who it would be, forgiving his future assassin, sealed it, and left it with his mother in France. And the letter was opened after he had been murdered. And here's part of what he wrote in that letter. If it should happen one day, and it could be today, that I become a victim of the terrorism that now seems to encompass all the foreigners living in Algeria, I would like my community, my church, my family, to remember that my life was given to God and to Algeria, and that they accept that the sole master of all life was not a stranger to this brutal departure. Not a stranger. God is not a stranger to his upcoming death. I would like, when the time comes, to have a moment of spiritual clarity that would allow me to beg forgiveness of God and of my fellow human beings, and at the same time to forgive with all my heart the one who will strike me down. I could not desire such a death. It seems to me important to state this. How could I rejoice if the Algerian people I love were indiscriminately accused of my murder? You can extrapolate from that statement to what goes on in today's world and how we judge whole peoples. I know the character, these are his words, an abbot of a Trappist monk of a Trappist monastery. I know the caricatures which a certain Islamic ideology encourages and which makes it easy for some to dismiss the religion as hateful. My death obviously will appear to confirm those who hastily judged me naive or idealistic. Let him tell us now what he thinks of it, he imagines people saying. But such people should know that at last I will be able to see the children of Islam as God sees them, all shining with the glory of Christ, the fruit of his passion, His secret joy will always be to establish communion and restore the likeness, playing with the differences. For this life lost, I give thanks to God. In this thank you, I certainly include you, my last minute friend, who will not have known what you are doing. He's addressing his executioner, whom he doesn't know who it will be. His last minute friend, who will not know what he is doing. I commend you to the God in whose face I see yours. And may we find each other, happy good thieves in paradise, if it pleases God, the Father of us both. I say that the man who wrote these words, long before he would actually face execution, and left these words with his mother in France, safekeeping to be opened after his death. The man who wrote these words understood the meaning of the cross very deeply. And most of us, or all of us, most likely will never experience death by beheading or death on a cross. But we can forgive. If this man can forgive, what is our excuse? Here's something. In a little while later today, we will recite the Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Everything is God in that prayer. Give us your name, this, your kingdom. Everything is God except that one phrase, as we forgive those who trespass against us. It is the only part of the Lord's Prayer. Have you ever thought of this? It is the only part of the Lord's Prayer that places and a duty on us. Everything else is God's in that prayer. That is the one thing that makes us fully and completely human. You know, last week's sermon, as some of you might know, I post my sermons on a website with the audio files as well as text summaries or notes. I don't actually transcribe the whole thing. I'm too lazy to do that. But this last week's sermon, where I talked about the possibility of this simple woman in Alaska, Olga, being perhaps one of these days being canonized as a saint, nothing else that I have ever posted on that website has received as many visitors, as many views, as many people from many different countries. Over 300 people just turned in to that page from about 20 to 30 countries. I didn't quite count all of them. The most response I ever had for anything that I ever posted, any of my sermons or anything that I ever posted on that website, I even got a comment from a bishop. And then we had several emails exchanged on this matter just between the two of us. What does that tell me? Not that people want to hear me or that I'm anything, but it tells me that people yearn for sainthood. People yearn to know that there is holiness in our world. So whenever the possibility of someone being pronounced a saint becomes even a remote possibility, people are interested. People want to know that it is still possible in our messed up world to be holy, to be forgiving, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love our enemies and not to hate them. It is still possible. And I think that's what drives the interest that people have You know, when the Pope canonizes Mother Teresa or somebody else, it's news. People flock to the Vatican to see the ritual. There's a move within the Catholic Church to have these seven monks of Tibirin, Algeria, canonize the saints as martyrs. Perhaps it hasn't happened already because maybe the Catholic Church is a little hesitant to pronounce saints in that troubled part of the world. Maybe that's just my own speculation, not anybody else's opinion. But there's a desire. There is a desire. There's a desire. And that, I think, desire should also be in every one of us. Not that one day we're going to be put on any icons. I don't think any of us are going to do anything that remarkable to be placed in icons sometime in the future. But you know, God does not go by whom the church proclaims as saints. I've got, in case you didn't realize that. God has his own ways of recognizing holiness, of recognizing a life that has been lived in the name and glory and to the glory of God. So maybe that should be our desire. That should just be our desire to attain perfection, to work at what we can do, and yes, to forgive. To forgive. That is the highest perfection of our Christian faith. Amen.